Several years ago, there were some men that were putting a roof on a barn. They were working away and trying to keep from slipping. They were real men, so they didn't use safety ropes. We didn't know what those were back then, did we, guys? If you slid off, you just slid off. Well, one is he was particular putting some things in place is begin to hear a noise below him, and it sounded like a crying child. Well, it kind of frightened him. He thought, well, you know, from time to time, something would slip out of their hand and would slide down part of the roof and down onto the ground. He worried about someone down there being hurt, and so he called out, and no good. He heard the noise again, and he heard it, and then he kind of turned, and he lost his footing. He tries spread eagle to catch himself as he's sliding down that steep roof of the barn. Some 25 feet off the ground, he screams as he falls into the air. His friends are screaming as he's trying. He lands on the ground as they scramble off the roof as they get down there. They notice him lying on his back, lifeless. Blood everywhere, completely covering him. One has taken off to run to tell others to get the word out because cell phones weren't around in those days and to get help. And as one of them ran over to him, he kind of lifted up his head. He said, I'm all right. I'm okay. They didn't understand why because there's blood everywhere. And as they lifted him up, underneath him was a crushed little ewe lamb. That voice that he had heard was that of a little lamb bleeding for its mother. And as that man got up and they helped him up and he looked at that lifeless little lamb there, he realized that that lamb had saved his life. It had broken the fall. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, as we behold the lamb and look at Scripture at God's Lamb, He broke for us the fall. Not the fall off a barn, but the fall of mankind because of His sinfulness and our destiny for not only physical death, but eternal death in hell. Behold the Lamb. It was first spoken about, that lamb, in the Gospel of John. And if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verse 29. Verse 29. In John's Gospel, verse 29, we're going to read about another John. This actually, in this first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, he is writing about John the Baptist when we get to the 29th verse. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, who had come to announce the coming of the Messiah, had a busy ministry, calling the lost to repentance and even the religious to repentance. Jesus has come upon the scene, but it has not been fully announced who He is. In verse 27, John says, "It is He who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." John is referencing here the fact that there is one to follow him. For they were wondering, John, are you the Messiah? Are you the return of Elijah? Are you the Christ? And so John says that. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. Verse 29 says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and John made a marvelous announcement." To us, it's no big deal. We know it. We're on this side of the cross. But for those that day, for John to make that announcement, not only was it religious blasphemy to call someone the Messiah, he announces to the world that God's Lamb, God's much anticipated Lamb, has arrived. When he says in verse 29, Jesus coming to him and he says, "Behold, not just a lamb, but the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, in this short passage, we have three identifiers that help us understand some things about Jesus. Number one, we understand that John is speaking of Jesus being the Lamb of God. He identifies him, number two, as God's Lamb. And the third thing he identifies is really interesting. In the verse, he says, who takes away the sin of the world. For any Jew or anyone listening in those moments, that was a different type word. You see, they were still following the Old Testament law, the Old Testament teachings, and they were still sacrificing lambs. You see, week in and week out, and especially during the year of the time of Passover, the lambs were brought to be slain. See, once a year you were to bring a lamb, and that lamb was to be slain so that your sins might be forgiven for a year. But John says that God has sent a different type lamb, and he identifies him as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Well, in doing so, John identifies something that people nowadays don't want to talk about. You know, nowadays we don't want to talk about being sinful. I like what Dr. Vance Havner. Dr. Havner was a great revivalist. Dr. Havner said, you know, things have changed. He said, you know, a liar, we used to just call a liar. In fact, my mama had a word called a bald-faced liar. You ever heard of that? You just telling a bald-faced liar. Well, you don't hear that anymore. That's old school for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. And you used to get your tail beat for doing it nowadays, but Matt Havner said, we've arrived now in the world today. A liar is now an extrovert with a lively imagination. We don't call them liars anymore, and if you murder anybody, they're going to blame it on you. If it's your child that happens to murder somebody or hurt somebody, parents, get ready. They're going to blame it on the way you raised them. If you beat the daylights out of them, you caused it. Or if you let them have everything, you caused it. It's never anybody's fault. We don't want to deal with anything like this. We don't want to deal with that nasty three-letter word called sin. And yet John identifies here when he said Jesus had come to rid the world of the stain of sin. The Jews were trying to do it weekly or monthly or yearly. And yet they were having to constantly do it. But he says, God has sent a lamb, and that lamb is going to come and do what it says in Romans 3:23. In case you think you're too good, let me tell you, you're not. For Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That means we've done something to disappoint the Lord. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of that sin is death, and that you're going to die. And you're going to die in your sin. And so John announces that one who has come to deal with that problem once and for all. Not just a Jewish spotless lamb, but the lamb. And he introduces to us, second of all, the depth of God's love. In John 3:16, you and I know the passage well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. You know, we seem to take it so for granted. Take a moment, and if you come Thursday night, we're going to give you the chance to see some things graphically from the Passion that might shock you, but it shows you. Take a moment this week to think about, would you be willing to give up your child, your only child, if you had just one, to die for other people? Would you be willing to give up your child who had never done anything to hurt anyone? That's what God did for you because he loves you. When we think of that lamb, there are some things we need to know about it. He was eternally present. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Folks, you need to understand something about Calvary and about the cross. It wasn't some thing that God had to figure out on the run. When everything else had failed, God had to do that. No. The scripture and the song that we sing, behold the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was eternally present. You see, Jesus, even before Adam and Eve were created, before sin ever entered the world, knew that one day he was going to have to go down and die for me and you. He was prophetically promised. I want you to look in your Bible at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. If you'll turn quickly. We know about this Lamb. First, if He was eternally present, He's always been there. And He'd always planned to do what He's done. Second of all, we see that He was prophetically promised. That means long before He came, God said, I've already got the plan. God revealed it to the prophet Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. Listen to what it says in verse 3 following. It says, He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. That means that Jesus, there came a time when people didn't even want to look upon Him. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried, yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken. Verse 4 said that it was God that smited Him. He was smitten of God. He was pierced through. We know that. He was scourged and He was beaten. He was crucified. Why? It says in verse 5, for our transgressions, our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening of our well-being fell upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. We know that He was prophetically promised. One of the things that was required also of the Lamb when it was brought to the temple was that the Lamb had to be spotless, unblemished. When you brought a lamb during the time of Passover, or if you brought it at any other time, that lamb had to be the very best you had. It could have no spot on it. It could have no cut place on it or anything else. You didn't give God your sloppy second. You gave Him your best. The Scripture tells us about Jesus that He was sacrificially perfect. In 1 Peter 1:18, just listen as I read to you what it says about God's Lamb. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or from gold, that your futile life was inherited, but with you were saved with the precious blood of a Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us that Jesus never committed sin. He never did anything to deserve what happened to Him. But He did it. And He was sacrificially perfect. He was God's perfect Lamb. He was publicly sacrificed. We know that it says in the Scripture that they took Him after scourging Him and leading down that Via Dolorosa to a place known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there the Lord Jesus Christ between two criminals. They drove nails in His hands and in His feet, and they hung Him there to suffer and die. Publicly sacrificed, God's Lamb. John told us, behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, that Lamb is here today. The Scripture tells us that whenever two or more of us are gathered in the name of the Lord, He's here. That Lamb who was slain is here, but He comes now not as a meek lamb, but as the victor. I want to ask you something. Do you know the Lamb? Has the Lamb changed your life? Have you experienced what the blood of the Lamb could do? I hope that you never flippantly say, oh yeah, I've experienced that. When you realize what it cost God for you and I to be in relationship with Him, it is no small thing. A man worked in a meatpacking plant for about 30 years. He had many, many times cut the throat of cows and watch them bellow and kind of stumble and fall as they bled out. He had wrung the neck of chickens, as some of you had, and cut the throat head off and watched them kind of flop around. He had done the same thing with pigs. One day a farmer brought him something who was a good friend of the owner he'd never done. He brought him a little lamb because they wanted mutton to eat. Some people eat that stuff. And he took his knife and he sharpened it. He put the little lamb up on the table where he did some of his cutting.
And before he could do much, the little lamb leaned over and just kind of licked his hand.
Not really wanting to do it, but knowing he had to, he took the knife and he slit the lamb's throat. And he said that little lamb did something that he'd never seen before. It just stood there. It leaned over one last time and licked his hand. Never made a noise. And then just fell right there. That man went home that night thinking about that lamb. For days after that, he was having sleepless nights, night terrors, just thinking about that innocent little lamb that had given its life to sustain others. Finally, he walked in and he said, "I quit." He said, "I have wrung the necks of chickens. I have cut up deer and I have butchered cows and pigs. But I've never seen anything like that lamb." Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll take the time this week to read the Scripture says that as they were scourging him, beating Jesus almost to death, that he never opened his mouth. As they took him down the Via Dolorosa for all the crowd that the week before, just a few days before it, yelled, "Messiah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now they're spitting on him, slapping him and mocking him. And he never opened his mouth. They take him to a place called Golgotha. And they stretch him wide and drive nails in his hands and his feet. And then they drop him deep. Songs tell us what I believe was happening in heaven. I believe in heaven that there was an absolute holy hush. And that there at the precipice of heaven was Gabriel on one side and Michael on the other with flaming swords in their hand. And not just 10,000, but 10,000 legions of angels just waiting for God to say, "Go. Go wipe up mankind. What's happening to your son?" You see, they knew Jesus. He had been with them from the beginning. He'd been away for 33 years, but they hadn't forgotten. With flaming swords, I believe they wanted to go. Jesus hanging there on that cross finally begins to speak. Did he speak curses on those that he crucified? Did he speak evil against those others? No. The Lamb of God's first words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He went on to see his mother there, watching all this going out, and says to John the Beloved, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother," giving his mother's life over into the hands of his beloved disciple. He then cried out on that cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." And in heaven, just as the angels are ready to go because God has stood up, they're stunned when God turns his back. All kind of things happened in nature. Nature was angry. There was thunder. There was darkness that covered the earth. And yet, Jesus, in his last words, cries out, "Tetelestai. It is finished." And as all the angels are watching the Father, a smile comes across his face, and all of heaven breaks into shouts of, "Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified. O holy sacrifice, behold. behold the Lamb. Let us pray together. Father, the Lamb's here. He's not defeated anymore. Yes, He's here. He has nail-scarred hands and feet and a pierced side. Yes, He's here. And He's here to say that I'm here for you. I'm here to say to you that do not know that I died for you, that I went to the cross for you. For those of us that do know it, may we celebrate in our hearts and in our lives this week like we never have. Oh Lord, if there be anybody here today that does not know you as their Savior, they know about you in their head, but they've never experienced you in their heart. They don't know that you were sacrificially perfect, that you were sacrificed publicly, that you were spotless, and that you came and gave because you loved us. I pray today that during this time of invitation, Lord, that as we ask the question, are you washed in the blood? For the Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Lord Jesus, I can say, as many in here can, that I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. But God, if there's somebody here today that's not, I pray right now that they'll just say these words, Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, I know that I'm a sinner and that the only way to get rid of my sin is to give it to you. Realizing, Lord Jesus, that you died on Calvary's cross to take away my sin, I accept you first as my Savior, and then I want to make you my Lord. Father, if there's someone that prayed that prayer, I pray today that they will make it known what they've done. For those of us, Lord, who are washed in the blood, as we sing our song of invitation, Lord, may it go to you as sweet aroma in heaven. And may of all of heaven grow quiet while your children down here on earth proclaim, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 136. If you prayed that prayer, I would really enjoy it. It would be such a joy to me if you would share that with me after the service. And if you're ready to make it public, there's some folks that have made that decision already, and they're ready to make it public. And you say, well, why do you do that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ died publicly for you, and He identifies with you. He wants you just to identify with Him. In fact, next Sunday, we're going to do it again. We're going to do a baptism, and we're looking forward to it. Will baptizing save you? No. Baptism won't save you. But baptism is an indication that you've been saved. And maybe you know someone that wants to be a part of our baptism next week. Listen, we got time, we got space, and we got water, don't we? Amen? Well, maybe you're looking for a church home. I don't know of one any better than this place. I kind of like it. Amen? And I've made it to my second Easter. I haven't been the pastor a year yet, and they haven't killed me yet, though I do believe some of them have thought about it. Amen? Amen? Wait a minute, who was that? Let's come and sing this. Listen, you can't. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, please. If you do, we're going to sing 78 verses and you'll be here till 1 o'clock, okay? You sing it like if you're washed in the blood, you ought to be willing to tell everybody this week, I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. If they go, what's that? That is the perfect opportunity to say to them, well, let me tell you how you too can be washed.